This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Social support is important in stroke recovery, and social isolation has also been called a risk factor for poor outcome after stroke. And while family and friends provide important social support for many survivors, some stroke victims need more. Well, here to explain all of this is Carrie Garcia. She's a speech-language pathologist with the Physical Rehabilitation and Medicine Department at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Carrie. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So having a stroke can be a devastating experience, and for some, there's a long rehabilitation process. Help us understand that.
Yes, well, the rehabilitation process actually begins in the acute care phase. Our PTs, OTs, and speech-language pathologists are seeing the patients usually within 24 to 48 hours upon admission. Oftentimes, our patients are transitioned to the inpatient rehab unit, or 2 North, as we call it, in the hospital. And some patients from there, they might go home, or they go on to another facility, such as a local subacute facility, and other patients go straight home with home care and then visit us with outpatient within the department.
Well, one of the kinds, give us a kind of a thumbnail sketch of what we see after a stroke quite often in terms of both the physical limitations and then, of course, the communication limitations.
It depends very much on the type of stroke as well as the severity of stroke.
The location of the stroke within
correct.
The brain.
Yes, whether it's left brain, right brain, front brain, the hind brain. A lot of our patients will have both physical, cognitive, and or language deficits after their stroke.
So when you have a physical deficit, what are you seeing? Are you seeing weakness? Are you seeing inability to walk? What are the kinds of things?
Again, it's very patient-specific. Some patients, it is an inability to walk. They might be lift-dependent, or they might be dependent for transfers and all mobility initially. The goal is to improve upon that with our physical therapist so that they are less dependent for mobility with transfers, and even if they're wheelchair level versus walker level, or they may or may not require a device at all.
So I know there's a lot of individual difference based on a lot of factors, but the fact is overall you can see some pretty severe involvement of the ability to do your activities of daily living, just the basics of life.
Correct. Those ADLs and dressing, bathing, our occupational therapists work very closely with improving upon those skills so that there's more independence for each of those patients upon discharge from the hospital.
So how about communication? Because that's your specialty. Mm-hmm. And I know from my own past life as a speech and language pathologist, I know that language disability as a result of stroke is a major, major problem. What do you see? Do you still see a lot of people having aphasia?
I do. I do see a lot of patients having aphasia and those receptive language difficulties, including auditory comprehension, as well as reading comprehension difficulties, as well as the expressive language difficulties, the verbal expression, as well as the written expression.
So some people, when they talk about the difference between receptive aphasia and expressive aphasia, just for our audience's sake, some people really can't even understand the spoken word. Those people are seriously impaired. But then there are people who have the ability to understand, but they can't express.
Correct.
And that is also dependent on?
The level of stroke, the severity of stroke, the area of the brain, the location of the brain, yes.
Now, has there been a change in terms of the prognosis for these patients based on the fact that we're doing things much faster these days in terms of intervening with a stroke?
Absolutely, and I think the community awareness has increased such that patients and family members, they're getting to the hospital sooner. They're calling 911 at the first signs, any indication in terms of the fast, face, arm, speech, time.
So that what you're seeing is a greater response on the part of the public, greater education, but also have the techniques and the interventions helped to improve outcomes.
Absolutely. The timeliness of the care that's provided to the patients within the ER, the physicians and their management of the patients, as well as the surgeons and how they are working medically to advance the care of these patients.
But you yourself mentioned that basically rehabilitation specialists are also seeing patients within a very short amount of time prior post-stroke. Mm-hmm. Do you see a change as a result of that kind of early intervention?
I do, because some of our patients, I think they're getting care and they're getting treatment earlier. They might have a better prognosis, as with medicine, rehabilitation earlier is better, and more is better. The more repetitions, the more frequencies, the more likelihood we can overcome some of the physical or cognitive detriments.
How often would you see a patient, for example, and when would they remain in the hospital and get these kinds of intensive help for how long, generally?
It depends on the patient. If they're in acute care, they may get therapy 2 to 3 days a week. If they're on the inpatient rehab unit, they will get therapy 5 days a week. It's an intensive therapy program in terms of patients getting 3 hours of therapy a day, 5 days a week for at least 15 hours. And they may stay there for 2 weeks up to 6 weeks, depending on their needs.
And how they're progressing, I would imagine. And then the idea is to transition them into a community setting of some kind.
Correct.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with speech-language pathologist Carrie Garcia. We're talking about rehabilitation after a stroke and also the importance of social stimulation. So clearly, if a person has come out of a stroke with some cognitive and or communication disability, I would think social isolation must feel like a major concern in those cases. Do you see that more so with a person with a language disability than perhaps with just the physical disability?
I think so. If it's just a physical disability, I might not know. I may not be able to comment to that directly because our physical therapist may be better suited or occupational to comment towards the physical isolation or social isolation due to physical detriments. But in terms of the language, I do feel that both patients and their families feel isolated. They're not able to engage in the activities that they were once used to, whether it's due to cognition or language, because they might not be able to understand what's going on around them, or they might not be able to process the information within a loud environment with various distractions.
So it really does make, it's really a dramatic change in one's life at that point.
Absolutely.
And even with the best of rehabilitation services, it's a long haul, I would think.
Yes, in general, when we educate the families and patients, we talk about the brain healing for 6 months to a year. That doesn't mean that after the year the healing process is over. We have patients that return for therapy, you know, years after their initial stroke or insult to the brain.
So what are the kinds of things that you've seen in terms of that, the effects of social isolation? In other words, do you see a lot of emotional overlay, depression setting in, anxiety, that kind of thing?
Yes. Again, it's very patient-specific with the depression and or the anxiety. Sometimes it's just overall frustration without being able to get the words out, without being able to communicate with loved ones, but even just frustration overall with having a stroke and having this life-altering occurrence.
But you mentioned to me actually at one point that there are new techniques or adaptive mechanisms now that are giving kind of hope to that situation. Mm-hmm. Tell me about those real briefly.
Now, this day and age of technology, with all of the different smartphones and tablets or iPads, there is a lot more at hand to talk about, and patients and families have access to these things more readily, whereas once upon a time it would have been something very, very expensive in order for these patients to have and to utilize, but now just something that everybody has, a smartphone and or a tablet.
And how do they use them for communication?
There's certain apps that can be downloaded and or purchased. A lot of times we use a lot of the light versions or free versions to trial to determine if it's something that the patient can and will successfully use prior to purchase, because some of the adaptive or augmentative applications can be pricey. So we want to trial those before actually recommending purchasing.
But the purpose of them basically is to help augment or adapt a person who's having some communication limitations.
Yes.
And they've been successful. And that's new. That's
yes.
Really very, very new. So, you know, as I mentioned in the introduction, social isolation is a big issue, especially as you noted with people with communication limitations. You've started some kind of a support group for that. Tell us about that.
Yes, we've started the Central New York Stroke Support Group. And one of the reasons we started the group is I have patients that were seeking social supports and a group for patients as well as family members to learn and to talk and just to network within their community. And we were finding that there's very limited resources within this community for a stroke support group's family members, caregivers.
So this was an unmet need that you basically are meeting right now.
Correct.
Is the group current?
Is yes.
Going on right now?
Yes.
And how frequently do you meet? And what's the mission of your group?
We meet one time a month. And our mission is to educate both patients, families, and caregivers, but also to provide them an avenue for socialization and self-expression of their experiences, their feelings, their needs, but also, you know, again, to provide that avenue of social networking, meeting other patients and families that are like themselves.
How large a group do you have, or how large are you shooting for?
Well, that's a good question. We're still getting started, and hopefully as big as we need is, you know, bringing in from the local hospitals, not just our hospital alone, but bringing in from all community. And that's why we titled it the Central New York Stroke Support Group.
And who will facilitate it?
Currently, it's myself and another speech language pathologist, Jenny Doherty from St. Joe's Hospital. We are co-facilitating currently and meeting once a month.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful undertaking, something very, very needed. And it sounds like all the work you're doing here is really making a difference in a lot of people's lives. So I applaud your work and thank you for coming in.
Thank you. My
guest has been Carrie Garcia. She's a speech language pathologist in the physical rehabilitation and medicine department at Upstate Medical University. Thanks so much, Carrie. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.